everyone. Welcome to Care Group once again. Pastor Josh and Lindsay here together with Pastor Darren and Deaconess Jessica. We're so excited to have you. We just wanted to say this real quick. If this is your first time, please give us the great honor and privilege of blessing you with a gift. You could scan the QR code that you see on the screen or text GRC New to the number that you see on the screen. We'd love to just say, hey, welcome to GRCO. And we see you, the Lord sees you, and we care that you're here. Pastor Darren and Deaconess Jess, good to see you guys.
Good to see you, Pastor Josh and Lindsay, Jessica. Yep.
Pastor Darren.
Good to see everyone. Thank you for taking time to tune in. It's a great honor, great privilege that we get together as a family across time and space. And, you know, we're just talking before we started today's care group, and, you know, different people are just sharing their prayer requests. You know, Jason was sharing with us about a back pain and now about her father in Brazil. And, you know, as we gather as a community, like we get to pray together, even though we're separated, we're in all different rooms, but our hearts and our spirit are aligned. And we gather around no other name but the name of Jesus. So as you tune in for Care Group today, whatever is your prayer request, whatever you feel like you are dealing with, whatever challenges you may be facing with in your family as well, like we just want to say that we are here for you. We are family. And while we don't have the power, right, to do what is needed, we know someone who does. Amen. And his name is Jesus. So we're gathered around talking about Jesus, but also Jesus is with us. Right, Pastor Josh?
That's right. That's what these sessions are about. When we're coming together for Care Group, it's real people. It's real conversation.
Yep.
But it's, you know, at the center of the real people and the real conversation, what's most real is the beauty of Jesus,
amen.
Who he is, what he's done, particularly to Pastor Prince's ministry. And that's why we're all here. We're so thankful for that. And if you feel comfortable right now, why don't you just throw in the chat right now, where are you tuning in from? We'd love to see that. And what is it that you're believing God for? I think there's a power in us releasing these things into the right moments and times where we're all gathered in the name of Jesus. I know it feels like we're separate, right, from everyone that's you know, participating right now, but we're not. We might be separated by some geography, but we are so close, knit together by the power of the Holy Spirit because our faith and our trust is in Jesus. And Care Group is really about, we hear these awesome sermons from Pastor Prince. Our hearts are ignited. We're excited. And, you know, we hear them on Sunday or whenever you hear them, maybe you listen to them on a daily basis. But what's also really good is being able to come together with community, have conversation, and practically apply these truths that are being preached one Sunday after the next from Pastor Prince. And I think that when we do that together with others talking about what's standing out to them, what God's speaking to them, it somehow becomes even more personal to you. So that's what our hope, that's what our prayer is for everyone that's tuned in.
Yeah, amen. And if it is your first time joining, or maybe you've hopped on a few times, but you have that desire to get a little bit deeper, a little bit more planted, we do have our online church lobby that you can sign up for. We chat about care groups together. We encourage each other. We pray for each other, just like Pastor Darren was sharing. It really is a beautiful space if you're looking to get planted in this church family. And we also have on our website care group notes. So if you want to go back to the old care groups that we've done or dive deeper into this one, we have notes available for you on the website. And if you're more of an on-the-go listener, you can also listen on the podcast streaming opportunities that are out there. Yeah,
all of them. All the major ones.
Yeah, so at the gym, in the car, wherever you want to listen, it's available for you.
That's what I like to do when I'm stuck in traffic. Why not be stuck and be happy?
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? I mean, one of the ways that I get happy is by listening, and I've done this for years.
Yeah.
That's how I have listened for so many hours to some of these unbelievable sermons and now, you know, care group sessions and everything. Yeah. Just driving and in DFW, we have opportunity to do that, right? In Texas.
Why not be encouraged while you're sitting in traffic instead of frustrated, right?
Exactly. And what we like to do and we're about to do is we're about to hop into a clip. Pastor Darren and I, Deaconess Jess, together with Lindsay, what we do is we love to pray. and ask the Lord as we approach. So we don't just do this just like in a flippant way or just, you know, in a very cavalier, casual way, just pick a clip or pick a sermon. We prayerfully approach them. We talk to each other. Hey, what is the Lord putting on your heart? What is he emphasizing? What are you sensing and feeling like it would be good to talk about for the next care group session? So in the manner, in the course of doing that, we felt like there was this particular sermon, recent sermon preached from Pastor Prince, and this particular clip and portion of the sermon that was really speaking to us. So what we want to do is want to introduce this clip, and then we're going to come back like we always do, have conversation. And our prayer is that you wouldn't hear human wisdom, but that you would truly have your heart impacted by the rhema, the right now word that God has for you specifically that's going to bless you and your household and your immediate sphere of influence. So why don't you lean in and check out this clip, and then we're going to come back, and we believe the Lord's going to speak.
You know, people say things like, grace does not give you license to sin. It never gives you license to sin. Amen, church. In fact, people are sinning without license already. Have you noticed that? All over the world. Amen. It's the grace of God that saves them. You know, there's a passage in the Bible in Titus chapter 2. Let's show it. I just want to... It says, for the grace of God, say the grace of God, that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So that personifies grace, right? The grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Who is he? Jesus. But here Paul writes, it's the grace of God. We know it's Jesus, but here he zeroes in on grace, teaching us this grace that appeared, teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Now here's where some people will say, see, you got to teach people to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. But it does not tell you, you teach, I teach. It says the grace of God will teach. Can I have a good amen? Let me say that again. People will say, you are to teach people to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We all want people to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We all want that. But it doesn't say that you teach it. Amen? It says, the grace of God will teach. Hallelujah. Grace will teach you from inside, whereas man teach from outside. And you know, God doesn't want behavior modification. He wants heart transformation. When you encounter the grace of God, you are transformed. You cannot remain the same. Grace can just teach you out of your darkness, out of your depression, out of your sickness even. Amen? It happens when you encounter the wonderful grace of God, our Lord Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Darren, it feels like just those few sentences from Pastor Prince really kind of encapsulates the heart of this ministry.
Amen.
Which is revealing the beauty of Jesus, but not just revealing the beauty of Jesus, but that he's the personification of God's unmerited favor and his grace.
And so important that we don't see grace as a subject, a theological subject, but just grace appearing. It's the person of Jesus.
Exactly. I remember reading, of course, you know, the first book I read by Pastor Destin Arain, and as he's talking about grace, and he's saying grace is not just a subject or a doctrine or a teaching or a good idea or just something to pass by quickly in our sermons or in our Bible study. Grace is the person of Jesus. I remember there's so many things I can point out that he has shared through the years that have really, it's hard to put to words how deeply, when you read something like that, that is rooted in scripture and rightly dividing the word of God, just like hits your heart in a very special, significant way. And another thing that he just said that, like, I had a moment also when I read it was God's not interested in behavior modification, but heart transformation. Yes. And I never heard anybody put it like that. You know, I know that we hear some of these things a lot now, but you didn't hear anything like that. I never did. And, you know, spent a long time in church, and it really released me and freed me to be on a journey of actually the Lord touching and changing my heart instead of me trying to fix everything outside, but leave my heart untouched. And it really, I don't know. I mean, it made me like feel like I was okay to take a journey of really getting to know the Lord, and he wasn't really intimidated by where I was at currently. And I just feel like there's so much that we can say about what Pastor Prince just shared. I want to say one more thing too, because this is so good, and he's said this over and over again. I'm sorry. All right.
No, right? Go for it.
Is that, of course, we want people to live a life that's victorious in terms of their decision making, their behavior. I want that for myself. I want that for you. We want that for our kids. So I think that's the obvious, that who doesn't want that? I think that's pretty obvious. As a Christian, as a believer in Jesus, we all want to live a life in what we think and what we believe and how we act, how we behave. We want to live a life that's glorifying to the Lord, that exemplifies, you know, great attributes and things to look up to and all of that. The question is, how do we get there? I think that's the real question. And Pastor Prince in his ministry has put the focus in the right place according to scripture. And he just said it. He said, the Bible doesn't say, and in Titus 2, it does not say that we are to teach people through clever words or human wisdom or using a little bit of a louder decibel when we, you know, preach something, that you are to stop doing this and you should start doing that. Right. Again, we're not for people just doing whatever they want to do, but I feel like we don't need to say that, because people, like Pastor Prince said, they're sinning without a license. They don't need a license. You know, they're already sinning. They're already struggling with sin, right? Mm-hmm. But he said, No, we teach grace, and grace teaches your heart. We teach grace, and we really have faith that when we teach grace and we glorify the name of Jesus, and it takes faith to believe this as a, now I'm realizing more and more as a pastor, and this is why I so appreciate about this ministry, is it does take faith to believe that when you glorify the person of Jesus, you make a big deal about him. Now the Holy Spirit has material to work with to actually bring about life and heart transformation.
Amen. You know, Pastor Josh, I think when I listen to the sermon that this clip is taken from, and I think from a pastoral perspective, Pastor really lays it out very clearly to see the body of Christ as holy brethren.
Yep.
Right? And that perspective changes everything. It tells us that people who know Jesus, who have experienced and received the power of his love, the power of the cross, that their desire is true believers are not looking for an excuse to sin, are not looking for excuse to live ungodly. Like, true born-again believers are looking for a way out of sin.
Exactly.
We're not looking for excuses, we're looking for answers.
Amen.
Right? And I think what Pastor is saying, that you can't change yourself. You need the power of Christ. Just like, you know, so much of our behaviors are defined by, would you say, right, Josh and Lindsay and Deaconess Jessica, like the people that we associate with, right? You begin to sound like them. You begin to enjoy the food that they enjoy. You begin to, the more you associate and have proximity to, you know, just look at the people around you, the more you sound like them and become more like them. Think about being around the proximity of Jesus.
That's right.
His power, his love, his grace is transformational. It is the answer out of sin. It is the answer out of ungodliness. It is the answer out of worldly lust. He teaches us by loving us, accepting us unconditionally, washing us with his blood, and transforming us every single day. I need that transformation. It's not a one-time event, right, Lindsay?
Yeah, that's right. It's a everyday thing, and I feel like once you feel like you've kind of graduated in certain areas, you realize how much you need that grace even more, that it really is moment by moment, every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It's the beautiful opportunity, right, Deacon? It's just to grow in the grace of God. Yeah. We all have that opportunity. It's a beautiful journey.
Yes. And it's what's more beautiful is that, you know, even this subheader in the verse that Pastor had shared on in Titus actually is trained by saving grace. And, you know, so this training, right, that is the expression of God's love for us, I think. It's really, you know, he doesn't train us like, you know, one would train a pet, you know, because it would have benefits. But the Lord trains us because he loves us, right? And he just wants us, you know, to live that abundant life that he created us for from the very beginning, right? And I love it when, you know, in the sermon, I remember Pastor Prince sharing that, you know, glory is our original habitat, right? Sin is the fallen nature. It happened only after man fell, right? But that we, you know, our original, and we have been restored to that habitat, that original habitat of glory. And it is just so beautiful, right, Lindsay?
It really is. It's encouraging to know that's where we should be living from. And that's his heart for us, is to have those joyful, glorious lives.
I like that. Trained by saving grace. I know. So I like that a lot. But sometimes I know in my own life, we can resort to what can appear to be a quicker solution. And I think we can all say that sometimes there are other like avenues that can be quicker in a sense, or feel quicker at least, but they're not the most sure, and they're not sustainable. And what happens is when we build our life on a foundation that is, we're looking for quick results, something that like makes us feel like we're, you know, having some sort of progress that's really not, it's not real, it's not there. We're building our house on sand. And that's why I'm so encouraged by what we're talking about, because it really is building our life upon the solid rock of who Jesus really is. And that's what he encouraged Peter. And he said, like, okay, yep, like what you just said, like you are the Son of God. Peter, you called me the Son of God. Like, that is a solid rock to build your life on. And why don't you dig even deeper as what that means, like what that really means about me. And I just want to go back a little bit to think about when I first heard the things that we're talking about right now, as a mechanic working all over the place around all different types of people. One of the things I struggled with, because I think we need to, as we honor the Lord, what we can do really to honor him most is to, hey, listen, there's a lot of transformation that has taken place by me hearing about the gospel and the beauty of Jesus and what he did. Like, transformation takes place in the form of people being freed from addiction. And we have so many stories of people being freed from addiction and all sorts of transformation stories. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that share these stories, but also transformation in even like your character, your personality. And I can say for myself, as I traveled around working as a mechanic for years, I really battled, I would say, through being a kid, but even into my teen years and my 20s, it carried into being very self-conscious, being so aware of what everyone was thinking about me and constantly wondering how everyone was feeling about me and if I was doing something okay or if I was doing something to make someone upset, or if they were happy with me, just the fear of rejection, I guess, and really outsourcing a lot of my identity and sense of security to how I was performing by constantly analyzing people and seeing, oh, their facial expression, they must be mad with me, or they must be upset, what did I do? And it was very tiring and just, you know, something I didn't want to deal with and struggle with, but it was something I struggled with. And I remember, as I started to hear about the beauty of Jesus and what he really accomplished at the cross, and that he really did forgive all my sin, there came a point in time where I can only explain it like this. I was being unchained from the performing for people's approval, constantly. I was being unchained from a false identity, which was really rooted in performing constantly and then analyzing if I was performing enough for this person to accept me. And I would say that continued to become, you know, like pretty drastic of a change where I would look forward to, I'm really not kidding, I would look forward to, as I'm reading Destined Terrain and listening to Pass the Prince, the next day waking up, somebody saying something to me that was mean and nasty and me being able to have a quiet response or just be able to say, you know what, you're right. You know what I really like and appreciate about you though? And I can only, the only thing I could attribute this to, this transformation, is that the confidence that was growing in me as I saw Jesus and saw what he did for me personally, the confidence that I now had in who I really was that cannot be changed no matter what someone's facial expression looked like. It didn't matter that if they looked upset with me, and that didn't also result in, because I think we could swing the other way, oh, we don't care about what anybody thinks. It wasn't that. It wasn't an unhealthy, like, I don't care what anyone thinks, I'm going to do whatever I want. It was like this healthy confidence that was rising up in me just to be able to be content and to be happy with, hey, I'm on a journey of getting to know the Lord. I'm not completely there yet, yeah, but I'm still excited to see how much more the Lord is going to show of himself in my life and just be able to face all different types of people. And when people are upset with me or mad about something, yeah, I was just like not holding on to so tightly, my identity being rooted in pleasing everybody constantly. And it really helped me out a lot. And I'd say there's so many different things that I can talk about. But one of the things that it makes me think about this one verse when Pastor Prince is talking about, you know, the grace of God teaching and what God's doing. And that's how I look at this, is like the focus is on what he's doing, what the Lord's doing, not what I have to do or what I haven't done, but what he is doing. And so this verse really, I feel like, ties in really good with this and what my experience has been. And it's, you know, it's a very familiar verse in Philippians 2. It's, you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, a lot of times I heard that and that's where it stopped. It stopped at the fear and trembling. And then on top of that, I didn't even know what that was. I mean, I thought, okay, I should probably be, you know, really wondering and very fearful about where I stand with the Lord. That's what this verse is telling me, which I found out, obviously, it wasn't. But then they don't keep reading. And it says right here, and this is the focus, I think, of Pastor Prince's ministry. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's the focus of this verse. And then to drive it home, I just love the Amplified version. I feel like this is this is what caused the transformation, to have the confidence and to be okay with making mistakes and not beating myself up constantly, was this right here where it says in the Amplified, it says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. And I just felt like, how come we're not more conscious of what the Lord is doing, that he's the one working for me and in me and through me? And I think if I were to say and pinpoint all those years working in New York City and just dealing with rough people, that Pastor Prince's ministry shifted my focus completely from being self-conscious to being Christ conscious, but in what way? That he's constantly supplying unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor in just who he is to me, in me, through me, for me.
Yeah.
And my focus on that caused me to be happy and content in all different types of scenarios and situations and be able to learn how to navigate dealing with all different types of people. And so I relate to what you said, Jess. I say it's exactly that. He was training me by his love and his saving grace, and it was changing things in my personality and even in my character, not just in, oh, I didn't do this anymore, or my addictions, whatever it was, but it's like changing me in like the deepest fabric of who I am. It was just such a beautiful thing. Even getting hangry.
Oh my gosh. the fact that he has been delivered from being hangry, it was so bad that he would get hungry and I'd be like, oh, I have a granola bar in my purse, and he was not having it. He needed a meal and he needed it now. But that's gone.
But even something like that.
He's been delivered. I mean, it sounds silly, but if you live with someone who gets hangry, you know, it's not always
so
silly.
So why don't you like start your segment with how is your hangriness been, or is it something that else?
I feel like I've kind of shifted a little bit. I've kind of gotten a little bit hangry. I want to eat. I need to eat.
Thank you for your transparency. Now you
can, believing I'm going to be delivered from that too, though. But just hearing pastors, you know, this clip and the sermons, and, you know, we all watch his like the NCC services, and we hear these amazing testimonies of the things that people have been delivered from, and the sin that has been broken off of their lives, and the freedom that they've found in Christ. And for someone, I don't know if there's anyone else on here that was the good kid, but that's kind of was my story, that I was more well-behaved, not perfect, but kind of a well-behaved kid and teenager and young adult. And my mom jokes that I was annoyingly well-behaved out of her four kids. But sometimes the grace of God can be a little bit harder, not that it's any different for me than someone who maybe has had more of an overt kind of sinful lifestyle, but self-reliance is more subtle. So I am just so thankful, you know, when I find myself falling into, I should be doing more, I should be more put together, I should have more patience, all of these things that I am trying to become, that I have this freedom that is found in Christ, that he is already working these things. He has worked them in me, and he's still working them in me. Just like the verse you shared in Philippians, that for it is God who works in you both the will to do, both to will and to do for his great pleasure. It's right in front of me and I'm still reading it wrong. See, it's something that I could be freed from, is being able to read things clearly. But that desire to grow and to, you know, be more patient as a wife and as a mom and all of these things, that freedom can be found in Christ, that I don't have to work towards that holiness, that it's something that he has already given to us. So I feel like there's so much freedom that can be found in that we are set apart, and how you're talking about identity, that I can really relate to that as well, that my identity was so tied to doing the right things all the time, to, you know, not ruffling feathers or speaking up and things like that, that it was so tied to what I was doing or not doing. But to know that my identity is truly in him and what he has already done for me is so freeing. And I feel like that is the victorious life that we were kind of talking about, right, Deacon? It's just that glorious, victorious life that should be our steady place.
And you were talking about also like how, you know, can I say the word Pharisee a little or no? Is that okay? Okay. But I didn't know if it was allowed or not. I wasn't sure. Okay. Like you had the tendency though, right? To even be like, oh, you know, like, I guess, right? This person is whatever, and you know, or you just didn't feel like you.
It didn't feel like, I mean, I was thankful for the grace of God. It was kind of like a message that I hadn't heard before, but I didn't really hear so much. I don't know. Growing up in the denomination that I did, it was very much, you know, God is pleased with you when you do these things and you follow these rules and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I'm doing those things. So when people were overtly not, you know, following what you're supposed to do, I was very judgmental about those things. But now realizing how much I need the grace of God, that there's no little sin, big sin, that, you know, we all fall short, we all miss the mark, but we all have that victory that is found in Christ, that he's the one who sets us apart.
I think, Pastor, too, with all of this, what we're talking about, and Deacon Jess, you could jump in here, is like the holiness part of all of this, and we always focus on behavior, but that's not really the crux of the conversation, too. We always focus on, oh, what it means to be holy is your behavior to look like this, but no, it's set apart and special, and he talks about how that's different than just talking about it on a behavior wavelength, right, Jess?
Yes. And Pastor Josh, I just think that even this, you know, being set apart is, you know, like Pastor has taught, that it's really just, you know, how valuable we are, that we are set apart unto God, right? As sons and daughters and as his children. And, you know, this is being set apart makes us uncommon. So, you know, unlike being in the world and, you know, following the ways of the world, which many times is if you do right, you get right, right? And you have to perform to be who you want to be. But it is, you know, in the holiness of God and in being set apart, we can live that apart, you know, from the world and what the world expects and be different and uncommon. And I love it because I think that's what, you know, the gospel of God's grace actually trains us in being, seeing ourselves being set apart and how important that is to the Lord. Because if we are, you know, the same as the people in the world in all our behavior and responses, how are they going to see, you know, why they would meet Jesus, right? And who is this God that, you know, makes us different? So I love that simplicity of that's what holiness is all about. And, you know, I just wanted to just share a personal testimony. I'm going to be very real, and I hope that, you know, this in no way will discourage anyone, but encourage all of us that, you know, when Jesus, the God, you know, the grace of God teaches us to be holy, right? It is a light and easy, a gentle and kind training, and that it never breaks us, but it just builds us up more and more into the person of Jesus Christ. And, you know, this actually was a reminder from the Holy Spirit when I was thinking about today, right, and what we wanted to talk about. And, you know, I'm just so thankful we even get to do this as a family. We're coming together to fill our hearts with the word, the written word of God, right? And when that word is in our heart, the Lord, the Holy Spirit will, you know, turn it into wine, just like the, you know, miracle in Cana, where the water is turned into wine. But we need to first receive the word. And as we receive the word into our hearts, the Holy Spirit turns it into wine. The miracles that we need, the breakthroughs we need, the healing that we need, it all comes through that. And that's what exactly we're doing. So it's really so, you know, just such a privilege. But, you know, almost 20 years ago when I first, you know, joined full-time ministry together with Pastor Darren, we were a very small team then. And, you know, we were launching a particular book then. I believe it was Destined to Reign, I think, in the year 2007. And I, you know, was part of the team that made sure that the books were available at bookstores. And we were very excited, you know, because, you know, this is our first big book. And we wanted it everywhere for people to know and experience Jesus, right? And I was driving a van, and I had, you know, to go into a basement car park, and I had forgotten that the height of a van is actually higher than my usual car. So I just sort of like, you know, as per normal, drove right in, and I think the top of the van got scratched by the ceiling of the basement. And, you know, this is a rental van, okay, that, you know, the ministry rented for us to be able to do this delivery. And I, you know, when it happened, of course, what would we do? We actively possess, right? So I prayed, oh Lord, you have to give me favor that, you know, I will not get into trouble when I return this van. And, you know, your favor will work in, you know, for me, to make sure that, you know, all will be well. And, you know, hallelujah, I returned the vehicle, and the, you know, rental company said, all good. You know, they looked at the van and they said, all good, you're free to go. And I'm like, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your favor. And I was sharing this as a testimony, right, in one of our, you know, like staff meetings. And, you know, one of my beloved sisters who was with me in the ministry looked at me in like, I don't know, I don't think it was awe, but it was like, oh, I don't think that's what grace is for, right? And it was truly a like, oh, such a surprise. It was a shock to me. And I thought like, oh my goodness, you know, what did I just do? And then, of course, I realized then by the Holy Spirit and the friends that, you know, the godly friends that encourage us, you know, they didn't condemn me. She didn't, you know, say anything, but she was shocked. And, you know, I actually just like, okay, what do I have to do, right? And, you know, Pastor Darren was so kind. You know, he will always be so gracious like Jesus is and say, just call the company and tell them. And I'm like, what? You know, I have to go now and tell the company that I scratched the top of the van. But yes, that was the right thing to do. And I, you know, looking at this, I'm sharing it because that was how the gospel of God's grace, right, had been training me to set me apart, that in the world you would rejoice, yes, that, you know, your flaws or whatever you did wrong to somebody else's vehicle was overlooked, right? But no, we receive the grace of God so that we can live a life that brings Him glory. It is never our intention to use His grace, right, for our own purposes and intents. Wow. And I, you know, I'm so thankful that because of the teaching of Romans 1, 16, 17, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed that, yes, am I surprised I did that? Well, I am still work in progress and I need to learn the grace of God and how it works for us. So I called the company and I told them, and they were shocked. I called, this was a week ago, you know, ma'am. And I said, yes, but I still want to tell you that I should have told you that there was a scratch. Could you please take a look at the van and let me know? And I'll be more than happy to compensate, you know, whatever. They said, okay, you know, ma'am, it's really okay. It's fine. It's over for us. But they went and checked and they called me back and said they didn't see anything. So it's okay. And, you know, I just thank the Lord for His grace and favor right there and then, that, you know, instead of feeling condemned, which we normally would in when we make a mistake like that, because we always ask us, how could we do that, right? Let's not, you know, look to ourselves. Let's see that Jesus even paid that price for us. Mm-hmm. And I can say that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes. And continue to walk in His holiness, because it is He who sanctifies us and keeps us holy. And, you know, to be able to live life this way is truly the abundant life, not to be bogged down by guilt and condemnation, but to even have the boldness to correct what has been made wrong and to, you know, do it with a sense that we are so loved, you know. And I felt the most loved that day that the Lord still went through for me, but it was really a training. And I am thankful, so thankful for the ministry and for the teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. To that.
Wow. Thank you so much, Jessica. Let's give her a round of applause for sharing this.
I was going to say, I'm not listening to any more of these care groups now that you told me that, Jess, about.
Yeah, so incredible, Jessica.
That is.
You just highlighted what the essence of the gospel of grace does. And because there is no Ten Commandments that tells you to do what you just said you did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? And under the new covenant, and under the gospel of grace, like, you've demonstrated that it doesn't produce lawlessness. In fact, you know, under the new covenant, like, He writes His laws and His truths in our hearts, right? And it goes so far above, and there's an elevation.
Yeah.
It's not an outward transformation. What you're describing is truly something that happens in a person's heart.
Yeah,
it happens to the core. What the gospel of grace does, it touches the core of who we are, what our identity is, right? As a born-again believer, there is we take on His majesty. We take on His dignity. And we're not afraid to acknowledge that, hey, there's been a mistake. There's something, there's a scratch in the car. There's this. I remember Pastor Spring sharing about how he was thumbing through a book in a bookstore, and in the midst of putting it back, like the book got dented, right? And grace doesn't just cause you to walk away. Grace puts in him a desire that he has to tell someone that this book has now been damaged, right? And yeah, that he's willing to buy it and pay for it. So grace doesn't cause you to just, oh, it's fine. I think grace brings about this supernatural inward transformation. It allows you to be transparent, vulnerable, and open with our infirmity, with our weakness, with the things that we're struggling with. We're no longer trying to hide, like in the Garden of Eden, running away to hide. No, because of the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Because of the finished work. Oh, because of Jesus and all that He's accomplished, we can come forth with boldness into His presence. That the world's way is performance produces identity. That if you do well, you qualify. If you do well, you are accepted. But God's way in a new covenant and in the gospel of grace is He qualifies you with the finished work. None of us can qualify ourselves. None of us can do enough to get out of our own sin, to get out of our own ungodliness, to deal with the worldly lusts that the scriptures in you know, the Bible talks about. No, none of us have the power to do that. But when Jesus came, and that's what is so powerful about pastor's ministry, right? It's not self-help.
Yep.
It's the God who helps.
Amen. Yeah.
When we cannot help ourselves, right? Oh, wretched man, Paul says, what can I do? Who can deliver me from myself? Who can deliver me from my sin? Who can deliver me from my own weaknesses and temptations and struggles? When self-help fails, when the best of our ability fails and falls short, God sends help. And He sent His own Son, His beloved Son. So we have one message, His name is Jesus. We have one gospel, His name is Jesus. God sent His only Son so that we can receive all the help that we need. Then He qualifies us. Now He puts identity upon us. He calls us beloved. He brings us near by taking on the punishment that I deserve for my sin. The punishment that I deserve, He took it upon Himself. So that today I can say, I'm righteous, not because of my goodness. I'm righteous because of the blood of the Lamb. And now, when I lay hold of that righteous identity, when I lay hold of who I am in Christ, right? And we possess that, it brings forth a performance. It results in holiness. It's like Pastor says this, you cannot touch Jesus, touch His power, touch His grace, just like you cannot touch water and not experience wetness. Yeah. When you touch Jesus, when you're in His presence, when you're in times of worship, try it. Try being in times of worship and like just, you know, thinking crazy things and trying to do crazy things. No, in His presence, He transforms us. So whatever you're struggling with, whatever temptation you're dealing with, whatever ungodliness and worldly lust you feel you're dealing with, my friend, Jesus is here. I don't have the answer. We don't have the answers. But we know the one that is sent to help you. When you are most helpless and you reach out to the person of Jesus, in your addiction, in the midst of your struggle, He comes to you. He rescues you. He calls you beloved. He calls you accepted. He calls you qualified. And when you are experiencing that undeserved identity that He bestows upon you as a son and daughter in Christ, I promise you, that addiction that has held you for years will lose its hold. The grip that it has over you, it will lose its power. Amen? Identity produces holiness. Identity in Christ produces the supernatural performance. And that's our prayer, right?
Amen.
It's just like this. I don't know. when it's summertime, like all of us like to get a tan. And you know what? You can't get a tan indoors, right? Unless you spray it on, behavior modification. You go to a tanning, you know, salon and spray it on, right? But hey, how do you get a tan, Pastor Josh?
I mean, I go out in the sun, Pastor Darren. That's what I do.
Exactly, right? If you want to be, you know, like tan, go outdoors and be under the sun.
Yep.
If you want to experience new levels of holiness, be under the sun.
Yeah.
Behold him. Watch what your eye is watching. What hear, pay attention to what your ear is listening to. I know that when my eyes are set on him, when my ears are tuned to him, when my heart is inclined towards him, when I'm under the sun, his holiness transforms me. His grace transforms me. His holiness makes all the brokenness in my heart whole again. His holiness makes us whole. His righteousness makes us whole. His finished work makes me whole. In all the areas that I struggle with, in all the areas I'm inadequate and incomplete, when I'm in his presence, when I'm in his loving presence, his acceptance heals my heart. With all the rejection, with all the discouragement that we're faced with, when you're in his presence, he makes you whole. So I just want to encourage you today, be under the sun. Listen to his word. Hear his voice. Use the devotional day and night. Be in his presence. Be under anointed worship. It will make you whole. It will heal you. It will cause you to be set apart. What does it mean to be set apart, Lindsay? We're in this world. Yes, this world comes with a lot. Mm-hmm. Right? We're in this world. Yep. But when you're under the sun, you're not off this world. You're in, but you're not off. You're not subjected to all the wind and the waves and the storms that this world brings. But you're in this world, you're not off this world. Amen?
Amen. 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 Don't you have a verse that kind of was with First Peter about being royal special? And
First Peter 2:9-10, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So I wrote that down, that, you know, holiness doesn't have to look like perfection in behavior and all these outward things, but just a consistent turning back to him.
So there are special people. Amen. Like Pastor Darren was just saying, we're special because he made us special. And he's making us special in every area, every single day. And what a blessing it is as we just prepare to together unite our faith and believe together that the Lord's going to even give you a vision for you personally.
Amen.
As we prepare to pray and participate together in this, that there's a special vision that he's going to give you in a certain area where maybe you're struggling and you've been trying and you've been resorting to all different types of things to change something about you. Or maybe, hey, I don't want to be stingy anymore. I don't want to, whatever it might be. I want to be more generous. Well, you know, like Pastor Darren was talking about the Ten Commandments, they'll tell you not to steal, but they are powerless and they can't lift a finger to help you not just not steal, but be generous. And this is what grace is all about.
Yes. And the Ten Commandments is glorious.
Yes.
Right? It's glorious. It's beautiful. Right?
Yes.
But it can't transform us.
That's right.
There's a certain limitation, right? So right. The Bible tells us there's a glory under the law, but there's a much more glory through the Son, through Jesus Christ, our Son. I mean, the Son of God. And we receive that from the Son of God that came to rescue us. That glory is something that we cannot achieve on our own. It's received. Amen. Much more, right, through the receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that we can reign in life. Amen. That's the gospel. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So maybe let's do this right now and really practice this together. That's what this is about. We're practicing this together. We're receiving what he's supplying. And Pastor Prince was saying, like, he's the one making you holy. He's the one setting you apart. He's the one supplying. He's the one transforming. And so let's do that together right now. And just take a moment, maybe, if you're sitting there right now, what's an area that maybe you feel like I've been trying, I've resorted to other things. They seem to be quick and they seem to be working, but you realize, you know, maybe we've shifted a little bit and maybe it's subtle, like Lindsay said, it could be subtle. But let's be reignited by, it's the grace of God that teaches. And the Holy Spirit is doing that right now. So maybe we'll just take a moment and just be ready to receive this new vision of how special you are because you're under the sun. If you're under the sun, you're under his grace. So whenever you feel led, why don't you just wait for a moment and let's pray in the Spirit for a moment and just rest and unite our faith. And then you could just kick us off, Lindsay, and pray whatever's on your heart. Thank you, Lord. Kura basotara basanda. Shora baya sisi andoro bokora basandami. Shokara basiti andere besoli andoro bokotara basandami. Shora basandara basiti andoro bokotara basastar.
Jesus, I just thank you that you are in the midst right now, that you are in each and every room, Lord, and that you are reminding each person of how you see them. I thank you, Lord, for those that may be struggling with thinking they are who they are by what they do or by the things that they can abstain in their own strength from doing, Lord. I thank you that they are turning their hearts back towards you, that you called them to yourself, that you came down, that you died for them so that they may be children of God. I thank you, Lord, that that is their true identity first and most before anything else, Lord, that they are children of God. And I thank you that they are so loved. And from that place, they can walk. They can do the things that they are called to do in their lives, Lord, but that they would be reminded that they are children first, so loved by you that you want the best for them just because they are your child. And I thank you, Lord, that that's where the power comes from, Lord. For all of these other things is just knowing how loved they are. So I thank you, Lord, for igniting their hearts for that fresh love, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that their identity is sure in you, not in the shaky things like behavior and having their act together, Lord, but that is truly only because of you and your grace. Let your grace be the teacher. God, you are working and they are resting in who they are. In Jesus' name.
Yes, in
Jesus' name. Go on. Thank you, Jesus.
Serebekiti andoro bo fore basatara basanai.
Shora basanara bakatara basanai. Lord, I thank you that when in and of ourselves, when we don't have the power to say no, I just thank you that we will turn to you, say yes to you, and you will give us the power to say no to the things and to the areas that are destructive in our own lives. Lord, I thank you that because of the finished work, because of the power of the cross, that we can come to you knowing that we are beloved, knowing that we are cared for and loved, that you transform us with your grace, not with judgment, but with acceptance. And as you bring us near and we come close to you, you impart to us the power to say no to certain relationships, to certain struggles, to certain things that helps us even get through the day. But you know, we know ourselves that are just harmful and destructive to ourselves. Lord, I thank you that today, wherever our dear friends across GRC is watching this, Lord, I thank you that you impart to them a supernatural grace to say yes to Jesus and a power to say no to everything that is destructive. Whether it's spending more than they should, whether it's in a financial area, a physical area, a relationship area, Lord, you know the ins and outs with no judgment. You know us in and throughly and completely, and yet you love us so fully.
Yeah.
So perfectly. So I thank you that perfect love removes every fear in coming before your presence. That perfect love is a love that draws us close into your intimate and powerful presence. That we can come just as we are, with all our weaknesses, all anxiety, all discouragement, but not leave the as we are. In fact, let us not leave this presence. Let us always be under the sun. Let us always be in the throne room of grace. Let us be planted here in your presence.
Amen.
And let your presence transform us in ways that we cannot with our own might. So Lord, I thank you that it is not by might, not by human might, not by strength, not by willpower, but this transformation that we desire comes by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit working mightily in us.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Yes, I just feel like, you know, amidst all the things that's going on in the world, there, you know, might be some who may be troubled and feel like it's a dark season that they're going through. And I just remembered Pastor, you know, sharing the word El Tira, right? Do not fear, because, you know, we are so loved by the Lord, right? And we know that, you know, there is always that protection. Wherever we go, that there will be a right place, right time for us. And to, you know, not, you know, just depend on our own smarts on how to be safe or to be fearless, but really to, you know, be in his presence and know his presence goes before us to make the crooked path straight. And, you know, just like what Pastor Darren shared, just being in the sun of righteousness and in his wings, right, we shall, you know, see healing, provision, deliverance from every, you know, destructive habit. And it is just all about just turning our gaze from whatever we are struggling with to the Lord Jesus, and he will make everything well. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Deaconess Jess. Thank you so much. And may it be, and it shall be, in Jesus' name, for everybody who's listening to this right now and participating with us. And we're excited to hear all the transformative testimonies. And that's what we will hear. And we believe that because he is supplying, he is working, he is doing way more than you realize that he's doing. And to see his grace is to see his supply. And that's what you're seeing today. We're so grateful. We're so thankful that you took time to be with us. And It's always a pleasure, and it's just such an honor. Pastor Darren, Deaconess Jess, all of you, Lindsay, right? It's the best to be able to do this, and we can't express enough with our words. Words fail to express how much of an honor this is, and we just want to encourage you to keep on listening, keep on hearing. Don't give up because he's so good. He loves you so much. And so we want to encourage you to keep on coming, keep on being a part of Care Group. Pastor Darren, you have any last encouragements for anyone?
Just grateful for the time that we shared, and grateful that we get to talk about Jesus and see him move upon your life, in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Pastor Darren. Appreciate that. And want to encourage you, as you're being blessed, would you pray? Would you consider who is the Lord putting on your heart that you could extend this to? We believe that God really is using you way more than you realize, and he wants to continue to use you. So I want to encourage you, join us in the lobby. Let's continue the conversation. I know you guys are going to go in there right now and be an encouragement to one another and share your testimony. And, you know, of course, the things that you're still believing for, that will come to pass, and the Lord will not just meet it, but transcend it and supersede it exceedingly abundantly above. We love you. We can't wait to see you for the next care group. And until then, be blessed. And we love you so much. We'll see you soon.